You have your Bibles, or if not, if you would find a pew Bible near you, and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Reading verses 13 through 26 as we think about wisdom, and in particular about life wisdom. Happy are those who find wisdom and those who get understanding. For her income is better than silver, and her revenue better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called happy. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the deeps broke open and the clouds dropped down the dew. My child, do not let these escape from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and prudence, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you sit down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden panic or of the storm that strikes the wicked, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. Have you ever known anybody that was so book smart that they weren't any good for anything else? Perhaps they didn't have enough sense to get in out of the rain. I think I've shared one time in years past that my mentor in college, Dr. Chris White, when he was in seminary, had a professor who was absolutely brilliant and whose six-year-old son could read Biblical Hebrew, New Testament Greek, and was learning to read Sanskrit. But often at Emory University, if there was a thunderstorm, you would see that professor and his son wandering through the quadrangle, lightning flashing all around, rain pouring, talking about something, didn't have the sense to get in out of the rain. And then there are those who have so much common sense, but don't know how to do reading, writing, and arithmetic. So how do we balance the two? And what good does wisdom bring? You know, we could probably go around. There are probably at least one or two of you that could share some life wisdom with us. I remember a cartoon some time back, years and years ago. Charlie Brown is sitting in a room in the doctor's office waiting for the doctor to come in. And he says, "You know, the little boy in the next room is here to get a shot. I'm just here to get a checkup." The next frame, he says, "The secret of life is being in the right room." And sometimes that is the case. The secret of life is being in the right room. Or other wisdom that you pick up going along. You know, if you spill salt on the table, you're supposed to pick up the salt shaker and throw it over your left shoulder. Well, no, you're supposed to throw some salt over your shoulder, but I figure if you spill a little bit, why not throw the whole shaker in? That way you're, as long as you don't hit anybody. No. Or the persimmon. The last 2 years, I haven't cut persimmon seeds this year, but the previous 2 years I cut persimmon seeds because according to conventional or unconventional wisdom, you can cut a persimmon seed open and the persimmon seed will let you know what the winter weather is going to be like. The last 2 years that I cut them open, they all had knives in them, which meant ice. I'm afraid to cut them open this year. Or those who say the only way to get a good crop is to plant your garden when? Good Friday. Yeah. Good Friday. And if you don't plant it on Good Friday, it won't make very well. Another line of conventional wisdom, I guess, or life wisdom is, if you cut down all the trees in your yard, the leaves from everybody around you will blow and stay in your yard. Right? Or if you're in a hurry, you will catch every red light going through town. If you're not in a hurry, you got green all the way. Of course, some of these are humorous. And yet, wisdom is something that we are told we need to get. So, what good does wisdom bring? And how can we find a balance in our lives with wisdom and understanding? First of all, we need to remember that wisdom and knowledge are not necessarily the same thing. In this passage from Proverbs, wisdom is depicted as a woman who is to be desired and is spoken of in the third person. And just as a man is happy when he finds the right woman, so there is true joy when wisdom can be found. In fact, the word happy or blessed here in this passage in Hebrew, which brackets the first sections of this poem of wisdom, speaks of multiple happiness. Not just happy once. The one who finds wisdom will be blessed and happy over and over and over again. Now, you can have a lot of knowledge, but not know how to use it. And that's where wisdom comes in. The happiness is not found in just finding wisdom, though. True blessedness is found in drawing forth or obtaining understanding, the way to use that wisdom that one finds, and to understand not just the facade, but to understand the core of the wisdom and the knowledge that you obtain. True wisdom is not something that we find just once. Rather, the writer of Proverbs says that true wisdom is something that is forever being fulfilled if we do our part, if we truly seek it. The verbiage here, the tenses used in the Hebrew text, indicate that wisdom and understanding are things that we continually go after. It's not like you grab hold of it once and you've got it all. It's also not like a lot of the things we have taught folks in our Baptist churches about redemption and salvation. Too often we teach them, you walk down the aisle, you make a profession of faith, you get voted in, you get dunked in the water, and you sit on a pew, and that's it. But it's not. It's something that we continually have to seek after and to live and to work through, that life of redemption, a life of wisdom and understanding. By participating constantly in a life that seeks wisdom from God, true happiness of life will be found. Writer William Inge, writing in Vail, asks a question about what the most precious gifts for which an old man should thank God would be. He speaks of health. He speaks of recognition by others. He speaks of encouragement, all of which are things to be thankful for, to be sure. But finally, he concludes that domestic happiness is the greatest of all good gifts, except for that of wisdom, which is defined as a right judgment of the relative value of things. Wisdom, he says, is defined as a right judgment of the relative value of things. Wisdom found in God, then, is incomparable. There is nothing with which it can truly compare. And if you note in the verses we read, it talks about riches of silver and gold, and yet wisdom is far greater than any silver or gold. Any amount of money that we could attain. Wisdom is of such a benefit to humanity that it is the foundation for life and for living. Now, yes, we do need in society to have money in order to provide food and clothing and shelter. Yet wisdom also says that we learn how to use that we understand the important things in life. I've been amazed in recent months when there have been a couple of reports on television about lottery winners. Where are they now? People who have won the lottery and who were not wise, and some of whom have had everything they bought repossessed and are homeless because they did not have wisdom. What they thought was going to bring them life didn't bring happiness at all, but brought destruction. Although I did see a t-shirt several years ago that said, "Please God, let me prove to you that winning the lottery won't change me." Unfortunately, it changes a lot of folks. But you know, if you think about it, we who are Christians have already won. The one that matters. And it wasn't a lottery. Something that God provided, and all we have to do is choose to accept it and follow it. And that also takes wisdom. We have the knowledge of what we need to do, but doing it takes wisdom and understanding. We're told here that wisdom has long life in her right hand, which was the hand of good, the hand of power. That one of the keys to long life is wisdom. And not just any wisdom, but wisdom from God. Although other wisdom helps us. You know, you cook the chicken enough before you eat it. Yeah. You don't wait until the car gets as far as from here to the wall away and then jump out and say, "Aha, can't get me." Yeah. Wisdom. Wisdom that brings us long life. Carries with it prudence and discretion. But we are told in these verses, verses 16, that long life is in the right hand of wisdom. Verse 18, that wisdom is the source of living, that is the tree of life. In fact, the use of that term, the tree of life, recalls the tree in the Garden of Eden at creation in Genesis that fulfilled life which God has and which God gives us, life which is really of divine origin. And when we seek wisdom and knowledge outside of that divine origin, then perhaps we are chasing its straws. Or trying to catch the leaves as they fall. Something that is futile for us to do on our own. In verses 19 and 20, the wisdom which directs human life is the same wisdom by which God created the heavens and the earth and all that is within it. Which further emphasizes the fact that this world is not haphazard and our lives are not haphazard, but we only find direction, we only find fulfillment, we only find true creativeness when we seek the divine origin of wisdom? God Himself. And when we open ourselves up to that wisdom which is a creation of God. Wisdom did not create itself. Wisdom is created by God. Not all knowledge is, but wisdom is. Those who surrender to this wisdom will find themselves in harmony, in fact, with the whole universe, since God directs the universe. Great Jewish philosopher and somewhat theologian, Philo of Alexandria, Egypt. Philo used to try to... He studied all kinds of things. And Alexandria, Egypt, as you may know, was really a hotbed of Greek culture and philosophy. And Philo, this Jewish philosopher and theologian, oftentimes tried to wed the best of Greek philosophy with the best of Jewish theology. And one of the things that he wrote about was how that there were different levels and spheres in the universe, all of which God created. And that when everything in all of those spheres was perfectly aligned with God's wisdom, you could, and in harmony, you could hear the music of the spheres. That's not just an ancient thought. We even sing about it. That's right. Paige immediately said, "This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world. All nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres." When we seek God's wisdom and when we find that wisdom continually striving after it, then our lives can be harmonious and part of that music of all the spheres of existence which God has created. Yet wisdom is always to be accompanied with understanding. Sound wisdom, the intellect, and discretion, decision making, are to be guides for living with God, for living with others around us, for living in and with the world that God has created. They are the sources of life and are to be brought out in graciousness. They are manifested in the healthy life of a healthy soul, which issues forth in a pleasing demeanor and a graciousness and a mercy that comes from knowing the wisdom of God. When our lives are regulated and guided by that divine wisdom, God frees us from the fears of calamity. The writer speaks of that. Rather, God gives us security. Security that wickedness and seeming ruin will not overcome those who rely on God's wisdom for true living. In fact, we can have confident assurance of God's ultimate guidance. Guidance which will take us through into blessing. So what are we to do? As God's children, as Christians, as human beings seeking to live productive and fulfilling lives, we are to always pursue wisdom, studying and praying in order to find and to plumb its greatest depths. We do that through Sunday school, through Bible studies, through worship, through prayer, through gathering together to discuss not just the biblical text, but also to discuss life. For life and life wisdom is not separate from what we do in Bible study, in Sunday school, in prayer meeting, in worship. All of those are integral parts of obtaining wisdom for living. But then we must continue to find the discretion and the practicality for God's wisdom is life wisdom. It is not knowledge simply for the sake of knowledge. It is wisdom and understanding so that we can truly be alive. Alive in Him, alive for Him, and alive for those around us. Share that life wisdom. Whether it's being in the right room, whether it's planting your garden on Good Friday, or throwing the salt shaker over your shoulder, or more importantly, living a life together with God and sharing that around. Be wise. Be prudent. Be gracious. Be alive in God. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before You recognizing that sometimes we're not the wisest persons around. We may be knowledgeable in some areas, but lack the wisdom and the discretion and lack the graciousness with which to share, with which to learn, with which to live. Help us to constantly seek Your wisdom, Your understanding, realizing that they are far more priceless than anything else we could ever have. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is hymn number 435, God of Grace and God of Glory. As we sing, may we truly find that God is not just one that we speak of as having grace and glory for us, but rather may we truly find the wisdom that brings glory to God and glory to others around. Our altar is open for any who would make a decision, whether that would be to accept Christ for the first time publicly, to join with our fellowship here, or to recommit to seeking after that wisdom, which is life wisdom. Hymn number 435, God of Grace and God of Glory.